it's very much the test kislev tovshin pei aleph Rabbi Chil Hadar.
It's all right. Good morning, Rabbi Say. It's a time where we're socializing less. Baruch Hashem, we're hearing a lot more about shidduchim happening. It's not quiet. And something else has also gone up recently. Apparently exaggeration has gone up by 1,000,000%. People are scared. People are fearing all sorts of... People are fearing the worst. Baruch Hashem, when we have emunah and we do what our Talmidei Chachamim tell us to do, but we know we're all safe. The time when our face-to-face communication is decreasing, people are zooming to help each other out. We can say in many ways our connection has grown stronger. No one has been left apathetic in such a time. And there are the individuals, before we start, just to mention the individuals, that skiving meals, making nights as days, to ensure our most disabled to continue, providing us a place to educate ourselves, our children, and a place to daven, and so on. Mankind is becoming kinder in this difficult time. I want to talk today, Be'ezer Hashem, on the topic of V'havta Le'echa Kamoicha. Now, it seems like a simple topic. Everyone knows V'havta Le'echa Kamoicha. Let's not forget, Zeklal Gadol B'Torah. Rabbi Akiva says, Zeklal Gadol B'Torah. If it's Klal Gadol B'Torah, maybe it's worth it for us to somehow define the mitzvah properly and figure out the parameters. So to start, we'll bring in Rashi from Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Daled Amud Beis. So the Gemara over there talks about the mitzvah of Ben Adam L'Chaveira, the mitzvah of Lecha Kamoicha, and Rashi says over there, what's the definition of the mitzvah? It is whatever a Jew is forbidden from what? From doing to his fellow whatever he wouldn't want to be done to himself. Famous, as we all know. Maharsha says, where did Rashi bring this from? Likely from the story, the famous story of Hillel. Right? Someone comes up to Hillel, Erev Shabbos, trying to nag him, trying to get him angry, and says to him, tell me the whole Torah al regel achas. What did he say to him? Al ta'aseh l'chavircha ma shesanui alecha. Whatever you don't want to be done to yourself, you hate such a thing to be done to yourself, don't do that to someone else. So here's probably where Maharaj is saying, this is likely from where Rashi got this definition. And he's noting, this is not an affirmative call to action. Rather, it's a love, right? It's avoid doing things that will harm anyone else. But no need, it's not an affirmative call to action. Right? And he brings rayos to this. He doesn't stop over there. He continues. He's very passionate about what he's saying here. He says, raya number one. From where do we find V'havta Le'echa Kamoicha? In the Torah, right next to Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor. Lo Tikom V'Lo Titor are both prohibitions, not affirmative commands. He says, so too, the closeness teaches us a similarity. V'Havta Le'echa Kamoicha is also a prohibition. Raya number two that he brings is from the Gemara in Baba Metzia, famous Gemara in Baba Metzia, where Rabbi Akiva, who says that it's a Klal Gadol B'Torah, also says Chayecha Koidmin. Right? Classic situation is when two people are stuck in the desert, and Reuven has enough water to sustain only himself. Shimon doesn't have any water. What does Reuven have to do here? Does Reuven have to give maybe half for himself, half to Shimon? No. Chayecha Kodmin. Chayecha Kodmin means Reuven, drink all the water yourself. Without any Nikifot Matzpun. So from all this we see that it's not an affirmative call to action, not an affirmative command, rather a prohibition. The Sefer HaChinuch seems to also take this position, it's not fully agreeable. Not everyone agrees that this is what the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to say, but it makes sense from his words. If we just go with pashtus of what our Sefer HaChinuch says, we'll understand on a basic level that he also agrees with this. Right? The Sefer HaChinuch says, first of all, he asks, why is V'havta Rechei Kamocha such a klal gadol? What's the big deal? What about V'havta Hashem Elokecha? Maybe that's the klal gadol b'Torah. Right? He says the big deal about V'havta Rechei Kamocha is if you have V'havta Rechei Kamocha, then you won't come to steal from anyone. You won't come to be Masi Gvul. You won't come to do any mitzvahs ben adam l'chaveri, right? You've included them all in V'havta Rechei Kamocha. So therefore, it's such a klal gadol b'Torah. And how does he end? He ends it with, and if you're not careful and you do cause harm to others, then you're over al V'havta Rechei Kamocha. So what do we see from here? He's saying, if you're not careful and you do have, and it did happen that you caused harm, so not only did you steal, not only did you masigvul, you're also over al V'havta Rechei Kamocha. So it seems like this is a prohibition according to him as well. Now Ramban on the Torah, he's a bit more practical, at least he says practically speaking, human beings can't love each other the same much as they love themselves. As much as they would love to, they can't. It's impossible. So he says, what is the actual way to keep this mitzvah V'havta Rechei Kamocha? The right way of doing it is by not envying our fellow. And not just not to envy, but a better way to explain it is, if, for example, we see our friend having some success, we feel in our hearts very happy for them, but we want ourselves to have more success than that. Right? So he says, so that level, if you manage to conquer that envy and want for your friend the best possible, that's V'havta Rechei Kamocha. That's the Ramban. So it's all about eliminating the feelings of envy and genuinely celebrating our fellow's success. Right, so we've had so far the two shittas, right? We've got Rashi and Sefer HaChinuch. Ramban also comes out that it's a prohibition and not an affirmative call to action, according to the Ramban. But yeah. And now we're bringing Bezrat Hashem, the Rambam. The Rambam is where all the action happens. Because he says, away with all what we've just talked about. It's an assay, you come, it's a code of the way we're meant to treat our fellows, affirmative call to action, where we have to come and treat each other the same way we would have liked others to treat us, not just to avoid harming them. Right? So he says in Sefer HaMitzvos, it also brings out Hilchos Des and Hilchos Avos, that the compassion and mercy and charity and kindness, which we've been commanded to feel for our fellow, all comes from V'havta Rechei Kamocha. So, yeah, he's trying to tell us that it's an affirmative call, it's affirmative command. And Hilchos Avos, he says that visiting the sick, nichem aveilim, likvaris hameis, lelavos arichim, lesameach chosam v'kala, all these mitzvahs that are ben adam lechaveri are all included in V'havta Rechei Kamocha. Now, first of all, before I ask the question, everyone knows the question that's going to come up, because we've just spoken about the Maharsha's Raya of Chayecha Koidmin. And you can't, there's no possibility of Chayecha Koidmin being intact simultaneously with V'havta Rechei Kamocha being an affirmative command. Because if you have to love each other the same way you love yourself, then how can you say Chayecha Koidmin? Saying Pikuach Nefesh overrides it. I hear. How does it go together? Let's try and figure out a way that it can go together. I've seen that people explain this. In Hilchus, we'll survive. We'll have two dead in the midbar. Right. So we have in Hilchus Avil, the Rambam says his words are.
Smart from his natural state and the oil. Never let him the oil with anything else. We can see this.
So what? That you should look after that of Chayecha Kodmin. So you're bringing a raya for Chayecha Kodmin. And what about after Chayecha Kodmincha? Very good. Okay, fine. So you're proving the fact that you can't simultaneously have them, right? So Chayecha Kodmin comes before after Chayecha Kodmincha. I hear. Sorry? Well, but if you would have wanted him to give you the water, so you should now give him the water. Anyway, there is a way to understand this. From I've seen in a sefer a while ago, and I can't remember which sefer it was, but he says, if we look at the words of the Rambam, it's kol hadvarim she'ata roitze she'asu otam lecha achirim aser otan la'achicha. He's saying it's all within reason. V'havtarecha kamocha, it means within reason. Whatever you would expect, what you would want others to do for you, then you yourself should go and do for others. Right? If you're in the desert, or if there's limited supply of water, you're not expecting anyone to give up their lives to save you. Right? So, even according to the Rambam, this does not it's not part of the Havtarecha Kamocha. That's the first question that we now have solved. But comes the second question of the Rabbanon and the Oraisa. All these mitzvahs that he listed in Hilchas Avil are mitzvahs of the Rabbanon. He listed Samechas and Vikala, listed, let's go over the list quickly. Nichum Aveilim, Likvoy Hameis, Lavois Orchim, Bikur Choylim. So all these mitzvahs are mitzvahs of the Rabbanon. And now he's saying that also part of the Havtarecha Kamocha, which was a Chiv D'Oraisa. And if you're having a Chiv D'Oraisa, why do we need Rabbanon to come and tell us again? If you say it's D'Oraisa, then you sort it all out. Rabbanon don't need to come and tell me all the things that the Torah just told us. Yes. Yeah. Thank you. So this can also be understood from the words she'ata roitze. Sometimes the Rambam he writes a few words, and these few words can answer so many questions. So the way he put it in, kol advarim she'ata roitze, you would want others to do for you. So we could learn from here, if I myself am the type that when I'm sick, I don't want anyone to come visit me. Does that mean I don't have to go visit anyone else? Lichora, according to the Rambam by himself, according to from V'Havtarecha Kamocha, it's all about your personal feelings. If you don't want anyone to come to you, so you don't go to anyone else. If you don't enjoy it when your host walks you out the door, you'd rather just leave quietly, then maybe Lechora, you also don't need to do that to others. So he explains, so we explain that. That if Chachamim wouldn't have come and told us all these mitzvahs, this is the regular way to do it, and this is what we have to do, then we would have understood that it's not such a chiyuv, and everyone would have done his own thing. And this brings us to the final question on the Rambam, which is, what is Rambam's source? Right, we bought the sources for the Maharsha, for Rashi, Sefer Achinos, we bought everyone. It all sounded, it made so much sense, right? So now that the Rambam comes and changes that. We have to understand what is his source. So there are numerous ways of looking at it. There's a Gemara in Kiddushin. It wasn't in the end that we can't learn from there. I want to tell you that the bottom line where we get the source from is from the story in Ksuvas, the Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, story of the captured girls. Right, there was these terrible guys came, captured Jewish girls. Can't remember the number. I can't remember if the Gemara brings the number. They captured a large number of Jewish girls. And all they wanted back was money. They said, give us money, give us the ransom, we'll bring back the girls. It was decided that they'll bring back the girls, put them in a certain place near the Jewish area, near Nahardia, where till the Jews will bring the ransom, they'll keep the girls over there. Shmuel's father, he employed some guards to go to look after these girls while the Jews were trying to sort out some money to give. And Shmuel asks his father, these girls were in captivity for a whole while with these men, and now they're just another day or two, and we don't know how long it'll be. Why do you need to go and employ guards from your own money to look after these girls? And so he answers him, if these were your daughters, would you be saying the same? Right? And we learn from them, Maserav, we learn from them. We learn from our Tanoim, our Tamil Chachomim, how we should be acting. Right? And this is the affirmative command. And it's obviously he brought it in from the Torah. He doesn't act according to his based on his feelings. His feelings, our Tamil Chachomim, their feelings and all the thoughts come through the Torah that they've been learning their whole lives. So here we see that is v'ahavta lecha kamocha is a call to action to come, to get up and do things for our fellow. It's a mitzvah, moving on, it's a mitzvah to teach Torah. The Rambam says that it's a chiyuv al kol echad v'echad, al kol chocham v'chocham, sheyodea chochmas haTorah, that he has to teach it over. Not everyone can just sit down and say, all right, I've learned, I've done my part, I've studied, now it's time to rest. V'shinantom levanecho. What's v'shinantom levanecho? When you teach your children. How do you teach your children? By studying first. You study first. And what's the best way to study? There's a Mishnah, a famous Mishnah, there's someone who's loymed almanas lelamed, and there's someone who's loymed almanas lekayim. If you learn Torah in order so you'll be able to teach others, it's very good. But what if you learn Torah in order to keep it, must be kin biyadai, that he'll also be able to teach it to others. It's become so clear to him because he wants to actually keep the mitzvahs, then he's also able to teach it to others. Which brings us to a very big question. And it's a bit controversial, but it's a question. It's to be thought about. Admission policies in shuls, in schools, and so on. How can we tell someone you're accepted, you're rejected, when there's a mitzvah to teach every single person? So obviously this isn't a real question, because there's Tamid Sheino Hogun, which means someone who, according to Moshe Feinstein, is someone who will be a bad influence on the others, so you have to look after the crowd. And there's also there's a general ruach of the place that you want to teach in a certain way, so you're going to teach only these kind of kids that will want to learn, and you won't bring anyone that will disrupt this way of chinuch. So especially if these are private, so you have the schus to be able to make such decisions. Right? So that's not really a question. But I want to bring out a few points that we learned from all we've spoken about v'ahavta lecha kamocha. Point number one, lots of people, I've seen many people by the age of 40 or 50, they've given up on themselves. Personally, I know many people. They say, I don't know if they've actually given up on themselves, but they say, I've given up on myself. Now I'm just want my children to be able to learn Torah. I want my children to be able to, not us, Baruch Hashem, but everyone's here learning Torah, everyone here is come to learn Torah. These people, they just given up on learning Torah, and they just want their children to. We've learned from this mitzvah, v'havta lecha kamocha, we also learned that chayecha koidmin. Right? Chayecha koidmin. It's very nice that you're thinking about your children, but is it an excuse? Or is it real? Something we have to think about all times. What would happen if someone just passed the first aid course from Lucy Burns, he's got his certificate, and he now passes by a house with a child, a house that collapsed, there's a child underneath, you can hear the baby crying, do you go in to save the person, to save the baby? Your heart might tell you, you have to go in, there's a baby there crying. And you know first aid, but also you're putting yourself in danger. Do you become a hero? Are you obliged to be a hero and to go in there and save the baby? If you do, obviously it's a massive schar. But if you don't, what does the Torah want us to do? Right? So again, we also learn chayecha koidmin. Don't put yourself at danger. And that's why now in COVID, those who ever are doing first aid courses know that we don't do mouth to mouth. We don't do anything that can... anything that can transmit it. We always have to wear protective gear. We put on gloves. These are all things that we have to make sure that we're looking after ourselves while looking after others. It's part of Ve'ahavta Re'echa Kamecha, part and parcel. It has to be reasonable and so on. Say something about our tefillah. In Shachris, Mincha Maariv, we say in the first bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, El Gadol Gibor Hanora Elyon Gomel Chasadim Tovim Kone Hakol. What's Gomel Chasadim Tovim? Is there a chesed that isn't tov? What is Gomel Chasadim Tovim? Gomel Chasadim, Chasadim Atovim. Right? Some chasadim, we think, is there such a thing as a chesed that isn't good? That's the question. And we can understand this from a story of the Baal Shem Tov. Baal Shem Tov is learning in shul. Learning at the back of the shul, he had a place where he would learn. Apparently, this is how it's told. And in comes the water carrier. Nebuchadnezzar, 80 years old, schlepping water. You can see the sorrow on his face of hard years of life. Baal Shem Tov says to him, "My dear fellow, why are you so sad? What has happened to you?" He says, "Look at me, I'm 80 years old. Till now, my only parnasa is schlepping water. My back is hurting. I have two daughters at home, not married. They're chaperoning me all day. They want to get married. I don't have any money to put down for a dowry. My life is terrible. What do you mean? What do you mean? What's sad? What's bad?" Baal Shem Tov says, "V'shat Hashem, yeah, beseder. What can he say?" Next day, the same water carrier comes back into shul, carrying the water with a smile on his face, singing a song to himself. Baal Shem Tov says, "No, what happened? Anything changed?" And we think this is a miracle story where something changed because of the Baal Shem Tov's bracha. No, this isn't one of those. This story is just to show what actually happens in a person's mind. And this guy, the water carrier, says, "I'm 80 years old. I have koyach to schlep water." Who has koyach to schlep two barrels of water at 80 years old? "I have two daughters. Do you know how many people don't have children at all? My two daughters at home, and they're not married. They're at home. They're helping me out so much. It's amazing. Life is beautiful. Chesed is chesed. But we also have to know this, and that there's chasodim toivim. Where's chasodim toivim? When we know that it's a chesed, when we see it. Sometimes we get the chesed, we don't know it's a chesed. We don't know. To us it looks like another difficult thing. So when we see the tov in the chesed, that's gomel chasodim toivim. That's what we daven for. That we should see the chasodim. And this is the right perception, the right way of thinking. When we see everything that we have in our lives, we have to see it as a chesed. And then it becomes a chesed. And we see our fellows who are suffering. We have our fellows who are in isolation, shielding. If they have children at home, it's even more difficult sometimes. And let's not forget, there's also the shalom bayis. If you put two people stuck together in the same place for too long, there's so many implications. And what comes out of all what we've spoken so far today is to tell us that we have to be looking out for each other in any way possible. Everyone has a way to help someone else. If it's with words, if it's with some financial help, if it's with some sort of encouragement, anything you could do to support each other, especially at this time. Like we said in the beginning, mankind is becoming kinder at this time. Right? And we should all jump onto this wave and join in and become kinder and find ways to be kind to each other. Go. Amen. Many of these